Welcome to the
Development Download
with Leaps and Bounds.
Welcome back to the Development Download. I'm Lisa, and I'm here with my co-host, Aaron. Today, we're exploring something that has changed the way many children and families communicate, AAC, or Augmentative and Alternative Communication.
Yeah, Lisa, AAC gives children who struggle with verbal speech a way to express their thoughts, needs, and personalities. It can truly be life-changing. Today, we are joined by Jen, mom to Jessa, and Carissa, Jessa's speech and language pathologist here at Leaps and Bounds. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to be part of this conversation.
Okay, Jen, let's talk about your journey. Can you start by telling us a little bit about Jessa?
I would love to. So Jessa is 10. She is smart and sassy and creative. She loves music and art and really just lights up any room she's in.
That is true. Yes. We can attest to that.
Okay, so when did you first start to notice that Jessa was having some challenges with communication?
Yeah, so I am super blessed in that I worked with a variety of kids and adults with learning difficulties. So I had been doing that for about 10 years when I had Jess. And so, you know, as a parent, you're always like waiting for that, like, you know, say mama and say it first. And so probably about the time she had her first birthday, I was like, you know, she's babbling, but we don't seem any closer to words. So that was probably around the first time that I thought, I think something's up.
Okay. Yeah. So those early days as a parent, just trying to understand what she needed without having the words yet, like how did you handle that?
Yeah. So obviously that's tough. I know if you think about your baby as an infant, when you know they're crying and you're like, I changed your diaper, I fed you, I don't know. Like, we just never ended that phase, right? And so it was really hard not to know how to help her, especially if she was upset and you know, I didn't know why. And as a parent, you hate that. You don't want your kiddo to struggle.
Really hard.
Yeah. So, you know, just doing everything we could, trying to figure things out, trying to use any resource I had and just doing the best we could, which often didn't feel like enough.
Yeah. Oh. Well, and I'm a parent as well. And so sometimes it does feel like you're always in the survival mode, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and what's next? So I totally get that. Can you tell us a little bit, how did you first hear about AAC? And what was your initial reaction to it?
Yeah, so again, since I had worked with some students who had difficulty with communicating, I had heard about it. I had never worked directly with a student using AAC. And then when Carissa brought it up, I was definitely excited. And at that point, again, I think there's so much frustration and desire to help that I was pretty much, let's try anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Carissa, from a therapist perspective, what led you to believe that AAC might be the right next step for Jessa?
Yeah, so I had seen Jessa for about a year at that point before I had brought it up to the family. And we had tried the traditional spoken language techniques. We taught her some sign language, but I could continue to see her be frustrated. And she wanted to communicate. She had so much that she was trying to get out, but couldn't. And so I really wanted to give her a way to communicate whatever message she was trying to.
That's awesome. So once you've kind of made that decision, Carissa, what did those early steps look like? Choosing a system, getting comfortable with it, introducing it to Jessa?
Yeah, we do a process called feature matching. So it looks at what Jessa's strengths are, what she's able to do, and what the systems have. So which systems might be the best match for her. And then I am blessed to have several options available to me to trial. And so I started introducing them during our sessions. And she, as Jen mentioned, is very smart. And she was a smart little three-year-old as well. And she picked up on things very quickly. We modeled it a lot in the session. We tried to get it paid for through insurance. Yeah. That was a whole process. That's a story for another day. But it was denied. And so ultimately, Jen decided to purchase it herself for Jessa. And then we just kind of hit the ground running.
How empowering.
Yeah.
What was it like bringing this out of therapy and into the home and trying to figure that out for the first time?
Yeah, it was fun and overwhelming.
Yeah.
Again, because Jessa is so smart and so capable. I feel like she was just constantly doing things that I was like, how did you, what was that?
How did you get to that screen? Yeah.
having to Google things like, how do I get back to that? Or how do I, you know, add something? So it was a good mixture of excitement and fun and like, I got to figure this out.
Yeah. Did you find that it was, that she was readily wanting to use it, or did you have to kind of like keep bringing it out so that to make sure that she was consistent with it?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I would say the answer continues to be about the same. And that is, she is happy to use it when she wants to use it.
I thought you might say that.
Right? So it was very similar. Like, she would love to play on it and do things with it when she wanted to. Mm-hmm. Again, she is strong-willed, that girl. Yeah.
Oh man. Now, is there a certain memory early on that you're like, wow, this is a good path. We're making that path in the right direction. Do you have any early memories on that?
Yeah. So I think most of the early memories felt like just small victories, but I remember one fun moment was when I was singing Old MacDonald, right? Okay. Because she loves to sing or for me to sing and to listen to music. And so when she was able to choose the animals, right? And just like, we are playing together.
Yeah.
It's not just parallel play. It's truly a back and forth interaction. Yeah. And that was really fun.
Yeah.
To piggyback on that, a fun moment with that song in particular was she did not want just the pre-programmed animal sounds. She wanted the real animal sound.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know that they had programmed this. So she went to hit moo, and all of a sudden it is a true cow sound and not just moo.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So cool.
But without AAC, you can't, like, that would be hard to get to. Like, you couldn't have made that connection and have that connection with her.
Absolutely.
What helped the most during that learning curve? Like, did you have routines or moments each day? Like, what helped as you guys were gaining some traction with AAC?
Yeah, I think one of the things was modeling. Mm-hmm. If I was wanting her to tell us something, showing her what I meant, and getting direction from Carissa. Again, there's a whole lot out there that you can learn, which can feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so just trial and error and having fun with it.
Yeah.
Like programming animal sounds.
Right. But the play base, right? I mean, that is true play. And that's what we are, like, that 3-year-old should be doing.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So to give her that opportunity is super cool.
Well, and the benefit of having a speech therapist to help you along with that, because the AAC devices can be very low tech, but they can be very complex. And
absolutely.
So, you know, I don't feel very capable of doing it. So I'm always like leaning on our speech therapist to help us figure out how the best way to program it. That's an important piece.
Early on, did you find Jessa wanting to carry it in a variety of settings, or what do you feel like she kind of got set into, like, hey, I use it with Carissa, I use it at home, or were there any early moments where you, like, she wanted to bring it somewhere?
Yeah. So I think there was a lot of encouragement from us at first, and it did start to become routine.
Okay.
So she would grab it, and now it's weird if she doesn't. Like, I forget what we were doing the other day, but we were at church and I said, oh, where are your words? And went out to the car and they weren't there, and I was like, what are we gonna do? So yeah, she fairly quickly took to them.
That's awesome.
All right, Carissa, what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions parents have when they first start with AAC?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones we hear a lot is that it'll hinder speech sound production or that spoken communication, which the research actually says that it doesn't. And it kind of helps fill in the gap of that language while, you know, we're waiting for that spoken communication. or if it doesn't come, then it's building that vocabulary, right? Mm-hmm. But also that it has to be the only way to communicate. It can feel like giving up. Mm. Excuse me. Some parents have said that to me, that it feels like giving up. And I try to encourage them that it's not giving up and that we take all forms of communication. We take it on the device. We take sign language. Jessa has communicated a wanting to learn how to speak now. So we're working on saying yes.
Yes.
So we're working on saying words like mom.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so cool. And even after all these years.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to tear up.
Yeah. I know.
I'm ready to make that.
We're some Kleenexes.
But yeah, that we encourage all forms of communication. And, you know, her having that AAC now that we're working on some of those spoken words, she already knows what those words mean. She already has that picture of what that symbol or what that symbol is, what that word is supposed to mean. So, yeah.
That's so cool. So obviously it's a journey, I feel like, right?
Yes.
And so like if a parent is starting to maybe identify some concerns and you're kind of maybe approaching this kind of conversation, parents might be a little worried. What would you say to that parent?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I try to do is just acknowledge. Yep, it is hard. It is a journey. Celebrate the small victories, like you mentioned earlier. Showing them the research that it doesn't hinder. I think sometimes seeing a visual helps, but sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes people don't want the research thrown in their face. That's okay. but just discuss kind of like we just talked about, like how we used AAC to help build the vocabulary. And then also sometimes we have the kids press it on the device and then attempt to practice it with spoken words as well.
Jen, can you tell us about a moment that really stands out to you when you realized, wow, this is working, Jessa has really found her voice?
Yeah. As a mom, one that was most meaningful to me was the first time she used her words to say, I love you.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? You know, right? But hearing it, I think we all feel that way in relationships. It was just getting to hear her express how she felt and not just a need
for sure,
or something she wanted, but a feeling. That was really
that's
sweet.
That's special.
Side note, that is one of my unofficial goals for all of my kids, is to be able to tell their parents how
Okay, talking about some of those words, what were some, like, what are some favorite things that Jessa likes to say now? Is there any certain phrases or even funny phrases or moments that pop out of that?
For sure. there have been lots of fun things. I remember one day, and this was early on, she said, I want all the books. And I was like, girl, me too. One of the newest things, though, is she has become a backseat driver.
Oh,
so she's back there, and all of a sudden she'll say, I say go right. And I'm like, well, where do you want to go? And sometimes she'll say, you know, home. And then again, I say go right. And I'm like, well, home is not right. I need you to choose. But yeah, she's really trying to tell us where to go right now. So,
all right. How has her ability to communicate changed your relationship with her and as a family?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this question earlier, and I think that with any family, right, there's going to be frustration.
Right.
And there are going to be times where things are hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things that has been helpful is sometimes it's hard to know if she understands what's going on, right? Is she upset because she doesn't get it? Or is she upset because she's just not getting what she wants, which is very neurotypical?
Yeah.
And I think having that communication, there were times where it felt like we were able to see more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she knows what's going on. She just is on, she wants to go right.
Yeah.
Versus other times when it seemed like we're not getting much out of this, there's probably a gap in understanding. And so that's been helpful. even though it doesn't always give us the answer, it helps us get closer. Mm-hmm. And then again, gives her a way to communicate other than behavior, which sometimes is what we all resort to.
Right?
I've been known to slam a door. Slamming
the door, yeah,
right? But having that opportunity to get more of those thoughts, needs expressed mm-hmm. in a way that feels better, right? I know if I'm slamming the door, I'm probably not feeling real good. And if I can get some words out, it might help to resolve the situation. So really thankful for that.
Now, continuing that too, is like, have you seen those relationships change with grandparents, teachers?
Mm. Yeah, that has been really fun as well. And one of the things I love is that people are interested. Mm-hmm. So they want to see, they want to understand. Now for Jessa, that's not always fun. Because again, she's like, that's not what I want to do right now. But the awareness that we can bring, using it with family, using it in the community. There was this time when we were in a community group Bible study, and I have a picture of it. Jessa is sitting at the table, and then there are four boys around her age that are all just huddled around her, watching her use her word. And I may have captioned it on Instagram with "her tablet brings all the boys to the yard." But it was just fun, right? Yeah. People are interested. And so having those opportunities for her to connect and for her to say things and to be able to interact has been really fun.
That is so cool.
I know, Carissa, you've done some outings where you've done therapy at the local pizza place, and she's done ordering on her device. And tell us a little bit about that.
That has been so fun. So thank you for letting me do that.
Absolutely.
We went to a pizza place, we go to a fast food restaurant, and we've been to a pancake house. I think those are the three places we've got. It's really cool because it empowers her to know I can use my words to order food just like I see other people doing. But then also I have seen a shift in the employees as well.
Absolutely.
Where they slow down, they respect the tablet as her words, as her voice, versus trying to peek over and see what she's typing and quickly put it in. Like, they wait for her to hit the top bar for it to actually speak out loud. And they will respond to her instead of directing to me or to Jen or to Juma.
Chris, as her therapist, what has it been like watching the progress unfold?
Oh, so amazing, truly. I mean, I don't say that lightly. I've been blessed to see Jessa through this whole journey from the start, from teaching her the device to single words to now spelling. I mean, truly typing full sentences. And she's honestly faster at that than she is finding the button sometimes. So that's really cool. And, she's asking questions. She's making jokes. She's doing more, we call them functions of language. And so it's been cool to see from the initial requests to now asking questions, to answering comprehension questions. She's reading. Which is so amazing. Yeah. And I think she's a prime example of why we should never underestimate a kid's abilities or intelligence just because they are non-speaking. Because she is so smart and is reading and is journaling and writing her own stories and doing presentations in class, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so, I love that.
Yeah. So amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, Carissa, let's hear. What would be one moment that you were just truly surprised on her ability to engage with the AAC device?
I didn't know she could spell.
Okay.
So the day that she just whipped out spelling, I was so surprised and just mind blown. I think I just had to sit there for a minute and how did I not know this? I've been working with you since you were two. Like, how did I not know this? But it was so fun. And just, again, that was a moment of just, this girl knows a lot more than she's letting on.
Absolutely.
And I always get excited when I feel like we unlock a little bit more of what she knows.
Jen, what does collaboration with your therapy team look like? How do you and Carissa stay connected and consistent across home and therapy?
So a couple of ways. One is that because Leaps and Bounds is also connected to Justice School, it's such a relief knowing that that collaboration is going on. And when I can't be there, there are others there supporting her in a really educated way. Yeah. And then we have maybe a unique situation where my mom does most of the transportation to and from therapy. And so GMAW gets updates from Carissa and then with OT as well. And we'll pass those on to us. And it's really fun to hear those things and get to reinforce them. I have also started doing that sort of Mad Lib type story where we write a few words and then let her fill in. Jessa is so creative. And again, just sometimes the time she wrote, "Yo, banana boy," with like six O's in boy, I was like, "What? Where is this coming from?" But yeah, so that's really fun. And also with GMAW being part of that, again, it's allowing others in her world to know how to use that with her. And it's really important.
Yeah. I find it can get frustrating if it just stays in one outlet, right? Because when they try to use it in those other different situations and that other person being a part of it doesn't understand, right, then that's limiting them. And so to have that like across the board community aspect is really, really cool. Okay, so do you have any advice that you would give parents who are just starting with the AAC, especially when it comes to being a part of the team and not feeling intimidated by the technology?
Yeah, so I think one of the things, and we touched on this earlier, is it can be overwhelming. There is a lot out there. Start small. Don't worry about figuring it all out. Just start where you are and use the help of the people in your life who do know what they're doing. I could go to the internet and search, and I did occasionally, but you know how that goes. Yes. And so being able to say, "Can you show me how to do this?" Whether it was Carissa or someone at Justice School. And that's really helpful. And again, Carissa, you said something like this earlier too. Yeah, it is different. It is scary. It is unknown. And it's okay. You will figure it out. And they might figure it out better than you. You know, Jessa has changed the voice where all of a sudden she's talking like a grown man. She has changed the color of her buttons to purple and they're huge now. And I don't know, but it's hers. They're her words. And for her to be able to do those things is really fun. And you will find those and you will see their personality. I wanted to add this story. One of the times when we went out for an outing and Jessa was ordering at a pizza place, after she ordered, I said to her, "Can you say thank you?" And she typed N-O. And I said, "Okay, I did ask the question."
Right.
And so that is a valid response, right? And so it's fun. You'll get to see that personality. Just keep at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you hit it too, is like that play, like how you were able to interact and have that like song when you were singing, she got to pick the animal, like have fun, right?
Yes.
Like, would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And looking ahead, what are your hopes for Jessa's communication journey in the future?
Yeah. So I still pray every day that I'll be able to hear her physical voice. Now I really will need Kleenex. Just for the sake of continuing to make life easier for her. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I also continue to pray that with whatever means she has, she will be able to show us as much of herself as she can. She really is. I know we've said it like 100 times, but she's brilliant and funny and creative. And there are still times where, you know, I'd give anything to be in her head and to hear what's going on. And so to see her use whatever means she has available to her to be able to tell us what she's thinking and feeling and what she wants and to show us everything she knows. I want the world to be able to see that for her and for other kiddos and adults who aren't communicating, you know, quote unquote, typically being able to still show themselves because they're valuable and wonderful and have great things to offer.
Yeah.
So in 2023, I went to ATIA, Assistive Technology Conference, and they always do a lunch seminar kind of thing with an adult AAC user. And when I came back from that, I was so excited because I thought this is my goal for Jessa for the future, is to be able to get up, whether it's in front of hundreds of people or in front of a classroom, but to be able to get up and give a presentation about whatever topic she wants to give it about her journey, about that. And I just thought that was so cool. And so that, ever since that moment, that has been my long-term goal for her.
That's so cool. Kind of to maybe to the both of you, how do you guys celebrate those milestones, both big and small, along the way?
I know there's a lot of praise from me.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I am kind of a woo girl.
Right? What's wrong with that? I shouldn't say it like it's negative.
Yeah.
But there is just lots of praising Jessa when she's using her words. Just letting her know that I appreciate knowing, even if it's her saying she doesn't want to do something, thank you for telling me. And then, just again, using it for fun and enjoying those moments. I think that is part of the celebration of you're so funny, you're so fun, just laughing and enjoying it.
Yeah, I agree.
Carissa, what would you say to the other therapists listening that may be just starting to introduce AAC to their caseload?
The first thing I tell people is learn where the search button is.
That's good.
Because it's going to be your best friend, and it's a really practical way to learn. It'll show you how to get to each button. So let's say you need to know where water bottle is. You know, you type that in, and it'll show you the path to get there. So that's how I learned the devices as well as I know them now, just from constant searching. Another thing is to try not to feel intimidated. You know, we've kind of touched on that a couple times, is it's technology, but that there's lots of systems out there. There's lots of training available. Getting in touch with another SLP who knows the systems very well. I was blessed to be able to have a rotation in grad school that was AAC, and I still ask her questions sometimes, and having a mentor who's more familiar, I think, is good. And also just keeping in mind it's so worth it, and like keeping that end goal in mind of it might feel hard right now, but when you get to see the jokes, when you get to see the personality, when you get to see that come out, you know, it's just, it's so worth it.
I think too, I mean, it's important to have goals for your kids, but also know, like, you might not know even the extent of what those goals could bring.
Yeah.
I think so many times when we struggle to communicate with a client or a family member, it can be, you know, that can be scary, and it can be hard not knowing all of the stuff that's in there, and we can underestimate their abilities so easily. So always having this attitude, like, we have no idea all the things that they know.
Yeah.
So Jen, if you could go back to the beginning of this journey and tell yourself one thing, what would it be?
I was thinking really hard about this one in the parking lot. I think one of the things, I might give more than one, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm not
fine.
Following
yes.
the rules. But one of the things that you were just saying is presume competence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something I always tried to do, but more and more recognizing there is so much that Jessa is capable of, and giving her the opportunity to show that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing I would tell younger Jen is that it's okay to do what you can. I mean, really, not just okay, doing what you can is all you can do, right? Yeah. There's this phrase, I don't know who I stole it from, but if all you have to give is 40% and you gave 40%, you gave all you could. And there are days that are overwhelming and hard. And I think as a parent, I always felt like, what else should I be doing? I should be doing more. I should, you know, and just accepting that you can't do everything and you can't do everything perfectly. So just do what you can and seek help and take care of yourself and keep going. Things will change. Things that are hard one day won't be hard another day. And like you were saying, Carissa, it will be worth it. So I think that's what I would tell myself.
I love that. All right, Jen and Carissa, thank you guys both so much for sharing this journey and for giving our listeners such a real encouraging look into what AAC can mean for their families. And remember, every child deserves a voice and every voice deserves to be heard. Thank you guys for joining us on this episode of the Development Download. Until next time.
You've been listening to
Development Download
with Leaps and Bounds.